So most of you would know that today is Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday we have nearly set passages where we look at Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Jesus going to Jerusalem. That would be today the subject of our talks, and Jesus is entering as a king, the king coming to Jerusalem. And as a way of introduction, so to Jerusalem, his journey to Jerusalem is his final destiny. Jerusalem, his final destiny, is Jesus' final destiny. And where he was going for a purpose, he was going there to die for our sins. He was going to Jerusalem to die for your sins and to die for my sins. He had that in his mind from the very beginning. He had that focus that he was going to Jerusalem to die. And so here, even the opening verse of Luke 19, verse 28, the verse that we are, starts the section that I'm going to look at. So we do see how the concept of Jerusalem and his dedication to his ministry to saving us was so clear. In verse 28, he said, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And so we see here the fact that he had said something. He was teaching. He was doing something he loves the most. He was teaching the parables. If you go back to verse 11 of chapter 19, the parable of the 10 miners. You see, so here we see Jesus teaching, and he was doing something really he likes. But actually, there was something far more important for him to accomplish. There was something so greater than his teaching and things that he was involved in. He knew those were good. They were preparatory. Those things actually were going to be meaningful as he enters to Jerusalem and dies and rise again. And so that so the teaching he has taught us is how to live in the kingdom. You see, and the deeds he did, they were the signs of the kingdom, of the new kingdom. So he didn't just like really want to just dwell on teaching and doing what he was doing. And is that saying anything to us? Even like at the outset of this passage, we see clearly how Jesus showing us that it is very important that we might do something good and right, but there might be a higher calling. There must be something for you to consider, something that God may be wanting you to focus on more than what you are doing right now. And Jesus was doing this, but actually that didn't just really keep him down, you see. So because what he was going to do was far more greater than what he's doing. Because if Jesus stopped just like being a good teacher, and then we will be in trouble, isn't it? How many good teachers who have come into this world? Philosophers, secular philosophers, even other religious leaders, they taught certainly good principles of life. And you see people, even in Australia today, a lot of people are out of trouble just simply because they follow certain philosophies that are working for their lives. But that is going to be temporary. That is going to be for a short time. You see, the disaster will come. The judgment will come. Those who didn't believe in Christ, they will be in trouble. So we see how he was so determined to do that, to enter into Jerusalem. So after he finished, he went ahead. And going ahead, we do have a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament on how Jesus will be really going ahead to Jerusalem. To showing his determination and his willingness. So we see this in Isaiah 50. In Isaiah 50, the prophecies about the Messiah, the servant of God, who will go into Jerusalem and die in Jerusalem for the sins of his own people. So we read the descriptions of someone like really that fits Jesus himself. If you look at Isaiah 50, if we just start reading from verse 4, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me. That was Jesus exactly, isn't it? So my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint. So he set his face like flint going to Jerusalem. So he was willing. And so even a prophecy 700 years before actually Jesus came to fulfill this. So going to Jerusalem, determined, willing to come and save you and I. And now we read that as he goes, he moves. Verse 29 says, as he approached Bethphage. So you see Bethphage. So the Hebrew word is bet, actually, it's house. House of Phage. So Bethphage or Bethphage. You see, it's bet. It's Bethphage. You see, so just to explain that. So as he goes ahead, he came across this town and Bethany at the hill called the Mount Olives. So he got into that place, and then he's going to send his two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and then you will enter it. You will find a cloth tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing or untying it? Tell him the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying, the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. Here, the mention of these three places, what is it saying to us? Saying he's approaching. So the clock is clicking, is ticking towards the final destiny. So Jesus here, these places were mentioned by the Holy Spirit to tell us that your redemption is nigh. How many of us today, if we are told that your problem is going to be solved? Many of us have a lot of problems. We have issues. We have, maybe you have a debt. You see, you have a sickness. If you are told that a cure is coming, if you are sick, a cure that will cure you completely. And you will be well 100%. Will you not be waiting in excitement? Will you not be waiting in excitement? How about if you are in a prison and the time for your release is just drawing nigh? Because maybe you are going to spend like 20 years or 30 years. And yet suddenly, pardon from the king. You see, saying that you are going to be released on this day and at this particular time. I wonder how will you feel about that. You will be so excited, isn't it? So look at many people in this world today. They are told that Jesus Christ actually can save you from your sins, from your bondages, the gamblings and prostitutions. You see, anger. You see, all sorts of addictions. Jesus actually can heal you and can save you and can set you free and give you a song in your heart and fill you with the Holy Spirit. How would you feel about that? So the Holy Spirit is saying, you, Jerusalem, your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption is just coming. Jesus now is passing these places. 2 miles, you see, 8 miles, 2 miles, and just getting closer. Just how about if Jesus is going to change his mind and changing his direction? You and I will not be here today, isn't it? If Jesus hasn't gone all the way to the cross of Calvary. So the Palm Sunday is a clear indication that our Savior, the one who is coming, Jesus Christ, and then the text will reveal this to us, and let me follow my notes closely. As the king approaches Jerusalem, we see in the first place, first point, as the king approaches Jerusalem, we see two things. His perfect omniscience is revealed. His perfect knowledge. Calling two of his disciples, telling and instructing them that, go ahead of me and you prepare for me. You will find a donkey, tied, untied. People will ask you. So all the details he is giving. He knows all these things. his knowledge. No one knows like Jesus. It's God. That is why the coming king is from God. He is God himself. So your Redeemer, my Savior, your Savior is the one who has all these credentials, these qualities. That is why when you want it in a world of religious market, or how do you call it, marketplace, you see, of religions. You see, you go and you pick up a religion that can really save you. You see, that will have like presence, really blessings, and also eternal blessings. See, and so Jesus here, his full knowledge is revealed. He knows that. And not only that, he knows this. That is what also like the divine will of God has already forecast. It's prophesied. Like, look, Zechariah 9:9. Look at that. Zechariah 9:9. What is it saying? The coming of Zion's king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. You see, this prophecy, Bible teaches, tells us this fulfills why Jesus was acting in that. You see, he knows the place, he knows the people, and also in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And so that God is preparing us that we will build our lives on a firm foundation, so that we will have confidence in the salvation that Jesus Christ our Lord is offering us. And now, again, and I know there will be applications into why this knowledge of Christ should help us as his own people. So I don't have to wait. I just give you the application. You see, if I know that Jesus Christ, my Lord, knows all my problems, then I can be at rest. And he has the power to solve that. He got the power and the authority. He knows every detail of my troubles. He knows my spiritual needs. He knows my spiritual needs, my physical needs, even my relationships needs, my fellowship needs. He knows everything. He knows my future. He knows I need this. So he knows everything. So this should give us confidence that our Savior, the King, he knows everything. He sees your trouble. He sees your pains. You see, and that is why he came all the way. He knows our greatest need was for salvation, forgiveness of our sins, and reconciliation with our God the Father. He knows that. And so he is working out our salvation first and foremost to save us and to bring us in a right relationship with God. And also to be called and to be his sheep, to look after us, being our good shepherd who has the all knowledge, not only of you, but of the whole world and the events of the whole world that are happening. There will be a war. If there is going to be a war in Australia in 2 years' time, he knows that. And he wants to prepare you also. He prepares his disciples. He told them, this is what is going to happen. And I'm telling you this, that you will have confidence in me. Your joy will be full. Things are going to turn out to be great. And things are going to be turn out to be great for you and I. If not here, but in heaven. My sadness would be like if you just want it all here. Because that is not what Jesus is promising. You see? And actually, our suffering, present suffering, as we hold to him, really that what qualifies us for the glory to be revealed. You cannot want the final marks without the entry marks, isn't it? And this is the entry. We are to embrace our kings, and his salvation that he brings to us is fully. So now, Jesus Christ going ahead and going to this place, I tell you that, yeah, we see how he knows everything. And not only that, one. So his authority also is revealed, as I just mentioned. He said, go, and these people, they will really release the cult. He got the authority. And it's not authority that he lorded over people, isn't it? But people recognize this, there is a divine work of God here. And that is why they were able to release their resources to Christ to use. Because they realized, the Lord put on their hearts by the Holy Spirit, that this is extraordinary event. How about if these people, they were righteous people in the country who read the Old Testament Bible and who heard about this one coming, the Lord, because the words here, the Lord, the Master, the one who has the authority, because they say, tell them the Lord needs it. You see, the one who has the dominions, the one who is the Master, because this is not just like something sudden. These people, they live in a time where they were lords, isn't it? Caesar obviously is lord. Everything under it was subject to his dominions. He is the king. So they understand this language very well. That is why even we live in this country, we have orders and authorities, and we comply with all these orders, recognizing as God's people that we have been placed under orders. So this man also, he was under orders. But to do something like this, to recognize another Lord other than Caesar, that means he recognized the Messianic King who is coming. And so Jesus Christ is the Lord. And now we see how his authority is revealed. We see that the cult was released, and those who went ahead, and then they found it just as he had told them. This verse actually a few weeks ago encouraged me so much. So whatever Jesus asks you to do, it will be exactly as he has determined it. The blessings he bestows upon you, if you believe this, they will happen exactly as Jesus says. He will heal you. When he heals you, he heals you perfectly. When he fills you with the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. When he changes your heart and forgive you, you will know his forgiveness will be full. So these people, they went and they found as they were told. So you will have confidence in the words of Jesus, all the words of Jesus, all his promises. They will happen exactly. Come to me who are weak and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You will find exact rest that Jesus has said. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, you will actually prevail. You will go ahead and finish that which he has called you to do. So this is the confidence. Even this text is revealing to us things that we can take to heart. That even these people, we can put ourselves in his hand, in their place. And as we go doing about all that Jesus has asked us to do, we will find them exactly as he has instructed us. You see, just only this morning I'm praying. I have a window of time to do ministry. 6 days after I returned from USA, seeing Daniel, my son. So I was praying. So some people are extending invitation for me to minister to them in Cairo and other places. But this morning, as I was praying, suddenly I've been reminded of the relationship that the Lord has established between me and the people in Saudi Arabia. Something that was beyond my imagination. You see? So I'd like to pray in the next coming week. And the Lord will provide all the resources that is needed for that. And if it's his will. And then I will just go just as he has instructed me. And I will find my friends as they are, male and female, families. It's just incredible that I established in 2022. That is still today. And as I go with the praise of the people and their, because I'm only your legs, you see. I'm putting the gospel on the legs, you see. So you are the people who are driving the leg. As you pray, as you love, as you even support this trip as well, if you can. So here, Jesus, these people who went and they find exactly as Jesus really told them. It's something really breathtaking, something amazing, something like Jesus Christ himself telling his disciples and finding exactly what he told them to do for them was something great, was not just something easy. So that confirmed to them the one that is their Lord now, their master, the one who is riding to Jerusalem, he's indeed the Savior of his own people, the Savior of the world. Let us keep going. So now they find that they brought it to Jesus. So you see, the focus here is Jesus. Is Jesus going to Jerusalem? Is Jesus giving authority? Is Jesus knowing everything? Everyone is just acting under his mercy, under his order, under his power. What an amazing Savior we have. And so they threw their cloaks on the cloth and put Jesus on it. And this is like the kings, and during the Old Testament times, this is where they would be paraded into a city, you see. And now here Jesus, like, doing this normally as a king, and yet a king that is the King of Kings himself. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, really, as a king. And yet Jesus is a humble king. And you know, a lot of people were hating him. They didn't like him. And nevertheless, the gospel, the Bible was fulfilled. And that was, he was treated as a king, and he was honored, and then he went ahead. Then when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, you see, he's getting closer to the place where he will be crucified later. So the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. This is my second point. So, see, we have crowds, but we have disciples as well. Jesus doesn't want you to be just one of the crowds. He wants you to be one of the disciples who will recognize the work of God. And like this, a small group of people who suddenly began joyfully to praise God. They burst into praises. So the divine power of God has revealed to these people that this is from God. That Jesus Christ, he comes, and they will say later, that the blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, they recognize this. They recognize that this is from God. And now the praise that is given to Jesus, as these people came to Mount Olives, and we know, and Mount Olives also is connected with his death. So the disciple praise of God is also a praise of Jesus. They were praising Jesus. They claimed the hope of Psalm 118. I'm not reading the whole thing, but I just want to read one verse, Psalm 118 that Michael read to us, verse 26, what it says. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. That was in the Old Testament. A king would go to the temple praying to worship, and people actually will bless, will praise God for their king is coming. You see, to worship with them. And now here, Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem, you see, is a center of the cultic system, is a place of worship, is a center of the revelation. You see, so as Jesus comes here, these people, they began to joyfully to praise God with joy. They praise God with joy. You see, this is what I wanted to tell you today. If the Lord really reveals to you himself, you have a relationship with him, and you have come to know him, you see, this knowledge results only in joy and praising of God. Because even Psalm 103 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your sins. You see, who satisfies all your desires, who fills you with song of praises. These people, they were recognizing in Christ the salvation that was coming. And they said, of the great work, they praised because of the miracles, retrospects. They were just looking back. They just suddenly, the Holy Spirit reminded them of the activities of Christ. They realized that God was just manifested in Christ. And the healing of the dead and those who were raised, Lazarus being brought to life. You see, the Samaritan woman healed, woman with bleeding flow. You see, demon possessed set free. See, people who were just like sad people were joyful. See, that is one of the signs of salvation, the joy of the Lord. You see, and those who are saved, Jesus wants you to be filled with joy. Why will you not have joy if your sins are forgiven and there is no condemnation? And actually, you do not have low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is an enemy of Christian. No Christian should ever have a self-low esteem. Never. Because Jesus died for you. And he wants you to have joy. Because he secured your salvation, your life here and life to come. These people, as they recognized in Christ the work of God, they were full of joy. Hallelujah. They were full of joy of the Lord. They praised the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes. Jesus is the King. King's on the throne of our hearts, isn't it? People don't see him like when we go on this street, they don't see him as our King. But we know this. You see, that is why you can have people, dignitaries and things like that, and so it doesn't matter. You see, we have a King, you see, who crowns, who is worthy to be crowned. So blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It's a praise to the work of God. And these two things is of very importance. Revealing the Messiah, revealing Jesus to us. And as he goes into Jerusalem, he will be interrogated again about these very things that people have expressed. Because that was what really his enemies, the Pharisees and the Roman empires, will be objecting to. Why these people, this person will draw really huge crowds. A crowd that only the king of Roman kings should have. And he was accused of seduction, isn't it? You call someone said that. Sedition. Yeah, maybe. Well, anyway. Like he was a conspiracy. He's crowning himself to be sedition, isn't it? So the word is sedition. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so you can Google it. Do we have English teachers here? Yeah, so here. Yes, so they accuse him of staging a coup, isn't it? Claiming to be a king. He didn't shall say that he was a king. But people recognize that by the Holy Spirit, that he is the king that they need. And so people will not love that. They will not, not everybody, but division. Jesus said he came to bring division. Please, if you have been divided from a lot of people who are not of God, you see, don't be surprised. It just began there. Jesus really separated people. You see, and let us have confidence in this. Let us not seek the approval of those who do not recognize the kingship of Jesus Christ. You see, and his lordship. And so he has enough followers. And then we are called to convince these people why they should crown Jesus to be the Lord. He knows everything. He knows our lives. He knows our future. You see, and he has the power to protect us. He as far as the east is from the west, he pushed away all our sins. We are forgiven. We are destined for glory. So why should you not be rejoicing? Why should you not be celebrating the Easter? Why should you not dwell on your own problems when he knows them all? Why would you not rejoice when the Holy Spirit reveals to you that this is the blessed King who comes in the name of the Lord, who comes as the Lord himself? That is what he's saying. He comes to have dominions. You see, even though coming from heaven, this is what has happened, peace in heavens and glory in the highest, giving, ascribing all the glory to God. Some of the Pharisees, of course, as I said, in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples, rebuke them." You see, I was going to forget one illustration. I have a friend, a Southern Sudanese friend. He lives in Queensland. So his brother was a professor of Old Testament in Sudan. I taught with him for a year. And so while I was coming, he gave me some things to bring to his brother. So I phoned his brother and was talking to him. He said to me, one day he went to a Presbyterian church, a local Presbyterian church. And as he was sitting there, everything was quiet. And then really, there was a man who was praying. And this man, as he prays, really the Holy Spirit moves. And this man, he recognized that God was moving. And his heart was touched by the Holy Spirit. And he got up in a church like this, and he started to run around. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory to God. And people stopped praying. They started looking at him. You see, so he was just like, he's out of place. And that is what really exactly what the Pharisees were like trying to do. Let us have just a nice religion. You see, let us just have everything in order. You see, when the Holy Spirit is working and giving these people song and shout of praise, joyfully praising God in heavens, and every place is stirred up, and these people, they come with their little religion saying, oh, just Jesus rebuked these ones. They are just making noise here. But Jesus said to them, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stone will cry out. Even the stone will recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There will be supernatural acts of God. Earthquakes happens, isn't it? You see, Paul and Silas, Acts 16, as they sang, you see, earthquake breaks out and the gates of the jails opens wide. You see? So Jesus says that even the stone will cry out. What will they say? They will say, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You see? So this is what Jesus is saying this is something that goes deeper. Something that goes deeper. Even the nature will recognize his master. That the nature is subjected to decay, awaiting the glory of the children of God. Even the earth is cursed because of sin. It's waiting restoration for restoration. So even the nature can recognize the authority and the power of God. Even the stone can cry out. So just as a way of finishing, here is your King. This is Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, entering into Jerusalem willingly, willingly for you and I to finish his great work on the cross of Calvary. We will hear of next Friday and Sunday. And something in our lives every day, Jesus Christ rising in us, giving us the hope and the joy of his knowledge of our situations, his dominions over the whole nature, the events, authorities, power, principalities. He knows everything. And he knows a way to reveal himself to us. He got access and to enter into our hearts and capture our hearts and our imaginations to make us worshipers, to praise him and to have songs of praises all the time for who he is. Because he has dealt with our sins once and for all. We can have confidence. So that is why we can forgive others, those who are wronging us. We can persevere in our troubles and sufferings because he knows them. And we can look to him also because he has the power to change us and to relieve us. That is why there is a need for us to pray for his blessings. And I'm going to pray now. Let us pray.